My goodness.
All right. All right. Welcome back.
That's fun. Oh, my gosh. What are you doing?
That was.
I don't know.
What? I was doing the song.
Oh, okay. Well, you were going.
I think it's interesting that he can make the drum kit sound like a motor car. All right. Have you seen the story where they've done these pandemic-themed birthday cakes, and there's some pretty good ones here.
Oh, boy.
Of course, the very first one I thought of Dwight, because there is a story at a Christmas party a couple of years ago at our building where he was not a fan of the general manager at the time. Again, this is 20 years ago. So
yes.
Two or three general managers ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As far as we know.
We won't tell that story again. Or will we?
We will.
One decorator was asked to make a... go ahead.
It's no secret to me. I'll go ahead and say it proudly. At our company Christmas party, I may have gotten overserved. It was in our building.
Zoinks?
So I grabbed Tony, Susan, and a few others. I said, hey, come here. And we walked up the hallway to the general manager's office where the door was shut, and there I made wee-wee on his door handle. Allegedly.
He did.
In front of his door.
There's no allegedly. If there's a courtroom, I'm going to have to tell the truth. I'm not perjuring myself.
Where was that office at the time?
Which one was the same GM
don't
office?
Don't say it. I'll tell you off the air because I don't want the person that owns that office. Well, nobody's in the building now anyway.
This
right?
was 20 years ago. It's been cleaned.
It's the same handle.
Okay, one decorator was asked to make a pandemic-themed birthday cake, which basically was a roll of Scott toilet paper that said there was no real toilet paper in the store at the time. But this is the one. This is the one that made me think of you. A coworker had peed all over someone's lawn, driveway, and porch. So the cake read, "Sorry for what I did when I was drunk." It was complete with yellow puddles all over the cake.
Can you just give me the $80 that you spent on that cake, please?
Yeah, right?
Surgery cake featuring boobs that read, "Ta-ta to your tatas," with a note that said, "Breast wishes."
Oh. And two little candy corns.
And then this one is down the aisle of where, you know, when you're a new parent, you celebrate everything. You know, when they walk, when they tie their shoes, they have to make a huge thing of things. So this cake was made for the birthday, or I'm sorry, it wasn't a birthday cake. It was just to celebrate this young lady's, her name is Hazel, her first poo-poo in the potty.
Oh.
So she poo-pooed for the first time,
yeah,
and she got a cake.
Oh.
So there you go.
Chocolate cake, I'm sure.
Yes.
Again, okay, with the candy corn.
Yes. And because these days you can basically do anything you want with cakes. I mean, you can design them any way you want. One decorator shared, a woman once asked me to write, "Santa isn't real" on a cake.
Oh, my gosh.
I would refuse to bake that cake.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either because everyone knows Santa is real.
Yes.
No. Here's the scary part about that. Everyone knows that he's real. Plus, Papa Noel knows what you're doing when you're sleeping and when you're awake. So Papa Noel would know that you were guilty by going ahead and baking that cake.
You know what's not real, though?
What?
What?
That little thing that sits on the shelf.
Elf.
Yes.
Elf on a shelf?
Yeah.
I would like to request if Santa Claus is listening, whenever you come down the chimney in 2021, if you could please wear a mask when coming in others' homes. Thank you, Santa Claus, otherwise known as Saint Nicholas.
But if that little guy works for you, that's awesome. But
she went on to explain she felt her son was old enough to know the truth. Again, you're lying to your son.
Yes.
But wanted to soften the blow with a cake. Now, that's what you would do with young Dwight. He would be focused on not that Santa's not real, but that it was a chocolate cake.
I'm in my 50s, and I believe in Santa Claus, and I always will.
Yes, I will always believe in the spirit of Santa Claus. Absolutely. Giving, giving, giving. And the fat man down the chimney.
Don't say fat. You're so unwoke.
Body I'm shaming sorry. Santa.
I'm sorry.
And don't call him, and don't refer to Santa as him. Refer to Santa as a non-gender specific present distributor.
I'm actually shocked that people haven't been calling for Mrs. Claus to be delivering.
That's true.
Whoa. Why is Mrs. Claus baking the cookies? Why can't his fat ass bake the cookies? It's because it's the North Pole and that's what she likes.
Well, and they need to have a son who goes trans. I mean, we've got to really expand the North Pole a little bit here.
Well, the North Pole is just so 1920s, man.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And there is obviously the numbers are in. So if it, I think the numbers are 2 in 10 elves have alternative lifestyles. So,
oh, that's okay.
Yeah, right. Sure. And it's very accepted in the North Pole. And I don't think they hide it. But, elves have a job to do.
As a matter of fact, one of their favorite bars is called the North Pole.
Got a creepy story here, guys.
Great.
Go with it, creepo.
Okay. A woman was attending her son's wedding. She was left in tears after identifying the bride as her long-lost daughter.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
This happened in Suzhou, Jiangsu province in China.
Oh, no.
So here's what happened. The mother-in-law noticed a birthmark on her new daughter-in-law's hand, similar to the one on her long-lost daughter's hand.
Oh, no.
So she spots the birthmark, approaches the bride's adoptive parents, and asked if she'd been indeed adopted 20 years ago. No. The bride's family was confused by the question because that was a secret. But they went on to reveal they found a baby girl by the roadside several years ago, then brought her up as their own daughter. The bride.
No!
Yes.
Wait a minute. Back up a tad bit.
I know. There's no adoption agency, right? You leave her on the road?
They found her on the side of the road?
And then raised her as their own. And then she met the other woman's son, and they were getting married. The bride, of course, you know what she was thinking? I'm marrying my brother. She's like,
yes.
This is not Kentucky. Oh. We're in China, for Pete's sakes. So she wanted to know more about her biological parents, met her biological mother, and said that was the happiest part of my day. But there was more.
Oh, no.
The concerns about marrying bro were weighing heavy on her. The mother-in-law then said, you ready?
No.
Yes.
Don't worry, he was adopted too.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Okay. Good.
Thank God.
Yes. Wait a minute. I thought over in
David,
China before.
You're going to give me a heart attack, damn it. You can't do stuff like that.
I thought when China, before you married somebody, like the guy's family has to go to the girl's family and say, okay, we're going to trade you 7 water buffalo, 6 Kit Kat bars, a 12 pack of Old Milwaukee,
and three viruses.
I think that's Taiwan.
Is it?
I don't think they do it in China. A dowry is what you're talking about.
Yeah. My wife's dowry, in order to buy her, it was a 6 pack of Coors Light and a half a Totino's pizza.
But if you find her dowry, you can't read it. That would be rude.
What?
Did that joke go over our head?
It's okay. It wasn't very good.
Hey, speaking of things that go over our head, listen, nothing makes me feel dumber than Jeopardy. Okay, but the flip side of that, for a little while on VH1, they had Rock and Roll Jeopardy. And I would just nail it. Every question, boom, boom, boom. But when it comes to real Jeopardy, I'm a dunce. Who are we kidding? So we know we lost Alex Trebek, unfortunately. He was a treasure. The other day from Sports Ball, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers came in, and he's done, a week? Is that what he's doing this week?
He's doing 2 weeks. So he has the last 2 days, 3 more this week, and then all of next week. Mm-hmm. He's been okay.
Well, let's fast forward to other options. When Alex Trebek died, a bunch of Star Trek fans took to Twitter and they circulated a petition wanting LeVar Burton to be a host of the show.
Oh, yeah.
LeVar Burton said, you know what? I'm flattered, but I'm just not into it. I'm more of a Reading Rainbow kind of guy. Well, Evidently, the petition has circulated again, and now LeVar Burton is saying, you know what? I may want to try my hand at Jeopardy. I think LeVar Burton would be a good permanent host.
He would be. I'm curious to see Mayim Bialik do it. Amy Farrah Fowler from Big Bang.
Yes.
She's coming up in a... She's an actual scientist besides being an actress.
No, I know. So
right.
I know.
I think she'll rock it.
No, I think she's probably going to be the answer because she's smart.
If you're looking for it, look. If you're looking for a scientist, I could gladly host Jeopardy.
No, we don't need you, Dr.
You're
Fauci.
Fine.
You're busy. You're busy with the COVID.
Speaking of the answer, why not Allen Iverson?
No.
Then they would call him the question.
I don't know about you guys, but I've hosted or emceed trivia contests for, I don't know, that group of people that know it all already.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, not just like
a Saturday night or a Wednesday night at a bar where it's all normal people, but people that sign up to do the trivia because they're smarter than everyone else.
Right.
I wouldn't want this job because you're never going to please. It's a miracle that Trebek did it for, I guess people just accepted him for who he was or any mistakes, because people love, when I did it at a church function, this was, everyone signed up and it was very competitive. I had two tables come up to tell me twice each that not the answer was wrong, but the question was incorrect.
Okay. I have the privilege every year with Bare Knowles, I get to host the Childhood Cancer Family Fund Foundation Trivia Night. Oh, it's such a fun night. But the very first thing I say as soon as I grab that mic is, hey, I'm an idiot. I'm going to get questions wrong, and I'm going to get the answers wrong. I'm going to mispronounce everything, and I'm going to butcher every single answer. But let's have fun. And it kind of takes it off the table, you know?
Here's what I had to do on the Joe B. and Denny show years ago. So we would have a trivia question a couple times a week to give away some fabulous prize. So Joe would ask a question, and you'd find out there were about 12 different answers. Like,
right.
Like who had the first forward pass in football?
Right.
And there'd be 15 schools that claimed it, and you couldn't prove which one was accurate.
Yes.
So I had to turn it into the matching game. I said, your answer has to match Joe's.
Right.
It's not. It doesn't have to be right, but it has to match Joe B's answer.
Well, okay, but for example, a couple of weeks ago during Crusade for Children trivia, I asked, are there any deserts in Europe? I researched the question on different Google platforms. They said, no, no, no. You all Googled the right one, or I guess another one, and said, no, there's one in Spain.
Yep.
I asked the same question because I was asking people after the show. I was like, how could I have been wrong on that? There is a desert in Spain. Why are all these sites wrong? And the person answered, wait a minute, there's one in Spain. And I was like, damn it.
See, now, if I were reading the question, I would have said, how many desserts are there in Spain?
Correct. The answer is six.
All right, look, it's tomorrow's the day. I've been looking forward to this, baby. Tomorrow is the day. Spring is here. Two nights ago, Susan and I and our in-laws, we got the cover off the pool. Well, Randy's coming over tomorrow from Backyard Oasis to open our pool. I can't wait. Backyard Oasis is the pool store that comes to you. Gone are the days when your most valuable day of the week, I'm talking about your day off, you're wasting an hour or so standing in line behind 35 people trying to get your pool supplies. Quit doing that. Enjoy your day off. Have Backyard Oasis bring you the chemicals, the accessories, the parts to you right to your front door. Plus, when it comes to services, it's Backyard Oasis. They even install in-ground pools. They do it all. Receive 10% off when you mention Dwight Whitten from WHAS. Start enjoying your pool and let them do the work. Backyard Oasis KY or call 249-5282. Backyard Oasis.
Oh, man.
Hey, let's play this whole song through. Let's just play this whole song through.
I bet you Dr. Fauci could sing this one.
Yes, this is a song about the Garden of Eden. I actually published 3 papers about this.
Okay, well, can you answer that the government was experimenting on individuals in the late 60s with hallucinogenics, Dr. Fauci? Can you explain that, Mr. I Wear Two Masks?
Listen, I believe what you're referencing is LSD, Tony. And I don't have time to get down in the weeds about that, but I will tomorrow, right here on News Radio 840, WHAS.
Why do you all even entertain the guy? Hey, listen, after the news, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to say goodbye and hello, both simultaneously, to Merle Haggard. I know he's already passed on, but we'll explain after news.
There's only 15 minutes and 45 seconds left of this song.
Right.
God, let's just...
That's why I loved it in my old rock days.
This is, you could get a lot of things done when you played this song on the air.
Twice.
How much time's left on this song?
I was an oldies radio, so that never happened.
Oh, you never got to play this song?
No, never got to play it.
Oh, it was awesome.
How much time is left on this song? Because it's just flying by.
15:15. Doing oldies radio, we had like three bathroom songs. You had the original version of Light My Fire.
That's 7 minutes.
You had American Pie.
That's like 14 minutes.
Not quite. That's about seven also. And then
I thought it was like 14.
Like Crimson and Clover from Tommy James was about 5 minutes. You had to go. 14:50.
And then you had the needle and damage done that just irritated you because it was like 2 minutes and 2 seconds. News Radio 840 WHAS. You got to throw the ID in once an hour.
Yeah, bail us out of this thing.
WHAS.
I hear people talking bad about the way they have to live here in this country.
Oh, the sound of Merle Haggard, baby.
I love it.
He good.
One of my favorites. I had the pleasure of getting to see Haggard many, many times. This is a fight inside of me, and we're going to be talking about the fight inside of me here in just a little bit. But
you got the privilege to go to his show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hung out with him. An hour.
Okay, here we go, Mr. One-Upster. Go ahead. What happened?
Okay. Broom.
Do you want me to tell you about how he was my bartender and he was serving drinks to me? Is that what you wanted me to tell you?
Listen, I do want to caution listeners. After this conversation, be careful not to trip on any of the names that he drops. But go ahead. Yeah, let's hear the story.
I'm leaving. This is... I was doing afternoon drive on the Fox, 100.5 the Fox. So the shift was 2 to 7. It was the same shift that Cowdy Calhoun used to work. So we would leave this building together about the same time. So I'm leaving one night, and I'm tired. It's like a Tuesday. It's not even a weekend night. It's like a Tuesday. And there's a limo parked out front of iHeart. And at the time,
and you're like, finally.
So I'm leaving, and in the back is Coyote. And Coyote's like, hey, get in a limo. I said, no, I'm going home. I'm tired. And he goes, man, I ain't going to tell you again. Get in a limo. And I said, I'm going home. And he says, come on, we're going to go hang out with Merle Haggard. And I was like, I don't want to hang out with Merle Haggard. I'm leaving.
What?
So he goes, I was tired. And I don't care.
It's not Brian Johnson or anything. Sorry.
So he goes, I'm not going to tell you again. I said, all right. So I got in the damn limo. We go down to the place named after Coyote's. And we get down there. And it's like an hour and a half before he goes on. So at the time, remember they had that bar behind Coyote's with the dueling pianos?
Yep.
Yeah, O'Malley's.
Okay. What was it called?
O'Malley's Corner.
Oh, that was the O'Malley's Corner part. Okay. So that was closed out. So it was dark. So we couldn't hear each other backstage. I'm standing there. It's me, it's Merle Haggard, and Coyote. And we're screaming at each other. And Coyote's like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Come here. Come on. So, of course, no one stops Coyote in this entire bar. Like, you can't go 5 feet without security going, what are you doing? Coyote walks and goes wherever he wants. So we start walking through the back part, and we pop out on the other side of that bar. And we're behind the bar, and there's no one there. It's completely quiet. So Cody and I sit at the bar, and Merle goes, "I got y'all." Merle had a hat on, and he was just dressed to do the show, and he was still about an hour away. And he starts opening the beer tubs, and he starts, "What you want?" And he starts serving us drinks. And we're sitting there, I guess, for about 45 minutes, and they know each other from way back. So
oh, yeah.
They're telling stories, and I'm sitting there, and I'm idiot Tony Vannetti. I don't understand the moment that I'm in. But I am sitting there listening, like I think it's hilarious. So they're going through people that they knew from the 70s and 80s in country music that were dead and how they died. So they're all of them got nicknames. Jimmy Crowbar Wilson. Do you remember what happened to Jimmy? And then and Merle would go, no, tell me. And then he'd tell him. And then Merle would go, "I got one for you." So he was cool. So I spent about 45 minutes with Merle Haggard, and he served me, and it was funny because he cleared the empty beer bottle, threw it in the trash, popped me a new one, and gave me another beer.
Well, that's not so cool.
Really?
One time at Phoenix Hill, the keyboard player from Kaja Goo Goo peed next to me.
And probably took a glance.
in the bathroom.
What used to drive people crazy was that I could never remember Merle Haggard's name. So I'd say, "Man,
I
hung out with this guy." And they were like, "Who are you talking about?" And when you play poker, we'd be playing poker and we'd be hanging out. And I'd go, "Man, I think he sang Okie from Smokey or something."
Oh, my gosh.
And everyone would start screaming at me going, "Did you hang out with Merle Haggard?" I was like, "Yeah, that's it. That's him."
Oh, my gosh. I want to go hang myself now. Okay, so let's talk about Merle Ronald Haggard. And while we're talking about, today's the 7th, so we missed it by a day. It was yesterday, but we ran out of time. Yesterday marked the birth date of Merle Haggard, the great Merle Haggard, April 6, 1937. But it also marks the day that we say goodbye to Merle Haggard, because not only was Merle Haggard born on April 6th, he also died on April 6th
in
2016.
It's another story for Coyote.
That's kind of efficient. Yeah, that is another story for Coyote.
How crazy is that? Haggard was born. His family is from Oklahoma, where they say Okie from Muskogee, but as a young age, they moved out to California. That's right during the Depression. As a result of that, through thick and thin, watch me lose and win. What a voice.
Of course, for you and Kaja Gugu, as you watch me whiz.
Now I just want to listen to Haggard.
And every one time let me down.
And open up the Jack Daniels. And you Haggard, by the age of 13, he was out stealing, writing bad checks. In the 50s, he was actually thrown into the juvenile detention center with one of his friends. That's when they were released. Him and his friend ran off to Texas. They rode freight trains out to Texas, okay, from California. They hitchhiked some of the way. That's when they were arrested again and sent to jail for robbery. But the problem is, Haggard and his friend didn't do the crime. Eventually, the real robbers were caught, and they were vindicated. That didn't matter to them, though. They still escalated on a crime spree, and he went to jail again. After he got out of San Quentin once and for all in 1960, how about this, baby? After he got released from San Quentin, Merle Haggard started digging ditches, and he started dabbling into the guitar and singing. Well, that's when he started recording, and the Bakersfield sound was popular. It was kind of like a counterculture to the overproduced Nashville sound at the time. Yeah, I had Buck Owens and all these other guys. Haggard was one of them with that great Bakersfield sound. In 69... Merle Haggard and the Strangers released Okie from Muskogee.
There you go.
It was reflecting his pride on being in Middle America. People weren't conventionally patriotic at the time in 1969. He had lyrics like, we don't smoke marijuana, we don't take LSD, we don't burn our draft cars, we don't challenge authority. Now, Haggard's given two different opinions on this song throughout different interviews. One time he said it was satirical about counterculture and saying that he's all right with it. But then in a later interview, he suggested that, no, the song is absolutely for real. I knew what it was like to lose your freedoms when I got sent away to San Quentin. When I got out of the joint, he says, I knew what it was like to have my freedom stripped away from me, and I didn't want these protesters glorifying what was ripped away from me.
Labor camp.
Oh, wow.
Stand out.
Furthermore, it was during the Vietnam War, and he did not like the way that people were treating his soldiers. He knew that his father, that he lost at an early age to a brain hemorrhage, wouldn't have approved of the way that the veterans would be treated either. So he said that song was very serious. In that song, Fight Inside of Me, he declares, it's okay to have a counterculture and express your freedoms, but when you're running down my country, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
This was Oki was what, 60s, late 60s?
What was the date on that?
69,
yeah. 69.
So he was digging ditches.
Yeah, he was digging ditches.
Was there a need for ditch digging more then than there is now?
Yeah. No, there was, because it was for an electrical company, and they were burying lines.
Oh,
oftentimes,
yeah.
Lines were not buried.
That's what my dad used to say to me every time I bring home my report card.
You're going to dig ditches?
Everybody.
Said, really? They make like 16 bucks an hour, Pop, you think?
He said the world needs
ditch diggers, too.
That's
hand
it.
Hand me my report card back.
My favorite Haggard song. See if you can find Kern River, Dave.
All right.
Because that was... Kern River was my favorite, man. I used to come home. I worked at a car wash, and I would go to my apartment and take a 12-pack of Old Milwaukee, put in my VHS concert of Merle Haggard Live. Oh, here it is.
It was there that I met her. It was there that I lost my best friend.
Ah.
That's a happy
tune. What's the song about, now for God's sakes?
It's about digging a ditch and throwing yourself in it.
Yeah, no
swimming
doubt.
It's about swimming in Kern River and his girlfriend drowned.
Oh, my
God. And drug her down.
So, wait. He might
cross on still water, but he'll never swim Kern River again.
So you're a manic depressive. You're working at a car dealer. You grab a 12-pack of old whatever.
Car wash. No, it was car wash. Yeah.
And you would go home and pop this in the VCR. Great idea.
Oh, and I would just sit there with my 12-pack. And there were times where, because you didn't make that much, shocking, at a car wash. And the luxurious St. Andrews pub was right across the street from my apartment. There were times I was hungry. I didn't have that much money to do anything. So I would walk across, and the owner would actually feed me and put a tab on me. His name was Don May. His name was Don May. So whenever I hear this song, it reminds me of not really having enough money to eat towards the end of my check, and then Don May feeding me and saying, you just pay when you get paid Friday. So, Merle Haggard, born yesterday, died yesterday.
Born yesterday, died yesterday. It's efficient.
So if he were alive, he could say, I wasn't born yesterday. Wait a minute. Yes.
I died yesterday.
I was.
I wonder what the odds are, though, of dying and being born on the same day.
Gotta be 3-1.
No, it's probably higher than that, David.
Okay, Antoine.
Anyway, we meant to get to that yesterday, but we ran out of time.
Yeah. I remember his name every once in a while.
Oh my gosh, that kills me, dude. That's like me saying I got to hang out with some sports ball guy.
Right. What was his name? Tiger.
So anyway,
McInally.
This guy, Tommy, This guy, Tommy Bradshaw, threw some kind of immaculate reception, he said. It was a neat
story. That's right.
Story.
And Frank Harris.
Yeah, Frank. This, no, I think it was Frank O'Connell he threw it to.
That's it. That's it.
It was old something.
All right. All right, folks, stick around. We'll wrap up the show here in just a moment. News Radio 840 WHAS.
Work hard every day. I might get a little tired on the weekend. After I draw my pay, I'll go back working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. I drank a little beer that evening, sang a little bit of these working man blues.
First thing I remember knowing.
Hey, who sings this?
I'm not going to answer because you say let's keep it that way.
Yeah, thank you. Dave just said it was his favorite song, and you're stepping on it with your goofy thing.
You're the one stepping on it, man. I didn't say anything during
now
the
you keep to, if you keep singing with the goofy thing, it's going to ruin it for Dave.
Having a bad day, and now you're yelling at me.
Look what I can do. Oh, listen to that.
My mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till mama couldn't hold me anymore.
Hey, everybody, now.
Hang on, here we go.
No, you
turned 21, present in life without parole. No one could steer me right,
but
mama tried. Mama tried.
Mama tried. And if you're trying to get to a baseball game today, don't forget Louisville Bats is open for business. 212-2287 is the phone number. Give them a call. They got a game tonight. Not the Bats, but it's got scrimmages and the Reds and everything else. Playing,
yeah,
so
yeah,
go
yeah.
Out there, have fun.
This
all right, man, we'll see you later.
Guitar.
Terry's up at 3 p.m. We're going to be over on 790 WKRD. For Dwight Whitney, he's Dave Jennings. I'm Tony Finetti. We'll see you later right here on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Good night, Mary.
Working hours without rest. Wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise
you guys want to sing again? Here we go.
Oh! I turned 21 is in prison, doing life without parole.
You're screwing it up, man.
Right. Mama tried.
It's
mama
not even in tune or anything.
I can't help
but
it.
Oh. 99, that leaves only me to blame, 'cause mama tried.